This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Conway home on a Friday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate it. Got the Skipper Mike Show coming up in an hour. I'm Woodsy. That's Adam Klug filling in for Paul Reindel. It's also his birthday. Happy birthday, Adam. And Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well.
Two more hours, then it's the weekend. You can get yourself a nice big bottle of Shiraz
and
walk around with it all day. And
I may go
drink
back.
Wine.
I may go back to Wine Woods here pretty soon. I'm teetering on the edge here, man. I really am. I'm teetering on the edge.
Maybe a Malbec. What are we
thinking
today,
man.
For Woodsy? Wine Friday.
I have to. I don't have to. I get to play in a golf tournament today, which I have not swung the wrenches in 4 months, and I went and swung it on the range yesterday. Best range session of my life.
Wow.
Makes no sense.
No, that's what golf does.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing. And then today, very obviously, since I had a good range session, I'll be terrible. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Congratulations on the bad round.
It's a scramble, so just make a couple putts. It'll be fine.
Let's see. We're just cooking dinner tonight, I believe. Do you still use your Blackstone?
Yeah.
You do.
Not as much as I used to.
Yeah, I know you used it a ton. Shelly kind of wants to get one. Well, I wanted to see if it's holding up.
It's holding up great.
Okay.
I need to replace the propane, and I'm too lazy to do so.
You have to go down to Home Depot. It's right down the street.
I understand.
Go to the back
I know exactly how to do
all
it.
Right.
It's just that I haven't done it. So.
All right. Well, that's enough vamping. It looks like we do have Jordan Schusterman with us from Sespa's Family Barbecue. It is brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue on a Friday. Always happy to see Jordan, even 2 weeks in a row, filling in for Jake today. Good morning, Jordan.
I can't hear him.
Hey, guys.
Oh, there he is. Hey, buddy.
It's been a minute here. I know I was on last week, but this is always a pleasure to go back to back weeks with you guys.
It's good to have you, my friend. I got a text from Paulie, who's out sick today, and he said Jordan's coming on tomorrow. Jake's busy with the College World Series. Jordan wants to talk some Jackson Merrill, and I said, man,
oh yeah,
what a great topic of conversation he is.
Yeah, guys. I mean, this is a situation where I think when he gets the job, right? At a camp, you get really excited, but you also kind of have to temper expectations when you realize what he's dealing with, right? I mean, it was so. I remember the conversation he had with you guys in spring where he was like, "Yeah, I hadn't played center field in my life before 5 minutes ago."
Yeah,
and now
incredible.
When you watch what he's doing, it's astonishing. It's an astonishing defensively, and now we're seeing him getting the results on offense as well.
I think a month into the season, I said, "Man." He bailed out a lot of people. He bailed them out. I mean, straight up. And of course, you know, teams move guys around. We see it. Guys get converted from catchers to second baseman and second baseman to relievers. We've seen it in baseball. It's nothing new, Jordan. But when you looked at what the San Diego Padres had spent in previous seasons and what they had to work with, you're like, all right, we're going to try this kid out there because he's tall and he's athletic and he's got some legs and, you know, he's a shortstop so he can see the ball and field the ball. He really bailed them out, man. He really did, defensively and offensively so far. And, you know, I think credit goes to the player, but I think credit also goes to, you know, the guys that said, all right, we really think he can do it, but it all goes to him. I mean, he's a big leaguer for the first time playing out of position. How terrifying that must be on a daily – until he, you know, got used to it. How terrifying was that for him? It's insane.
100%. And also, when you think about, I mean, the defense is worthy of highlighting specifically, and the fact that he's made that transition is unbelievable. But let's also remember, it's not like he had played 500 minor league games either. And so from an offensive standpoint, the degree to which he's been able to get comfortable is pretty wild. I would say that the other thing is, when you start to see this week, the power, right? Because that's something, it's not like he had gaudy home run totals. He had a good contact and a good, you know, overall hitter. Man, like, he's got the juice. You know, he's got real pop when he's in. And he said, you know, yeah, maybe you gotta go when you get the rare spin for Mason Miller, but the homer he hits the dead center, and just, he's an amazing player. And the last thing I'll say about him is talking to people around the game, we know AJ's in theory willing to trade anybody. Merrill seemingly has been fully off limits all along, and it seems like we're seeing why.
Yeah, I saw someone saying, "Oh, the Oakland A's are going to trade Mason Miller to the Padres. They're going to want Jackson Merrill." It's like, ha,
pass,
right?
Hard pass, man. What are we talking about here?
No chance. I agree.
Mason Miller is not with the Padres either.
No,
right now.
I
agree with you, Jordan. I'm an optimist, and I was stunned by the home run that he hit, not the walk off. The first one against a left-hander. It's his first homer ever against a left-hander. And the fact that it went to center and 400 feet, I thought, yeah, in 3 years, maybe Jackson Merrill will be able to do that if everything goes right. I didn't think that was something that could happen yet. I was going to be patient with Jackson Merrill, and now he's accelerating my timeline as to what is possible in the Jackson Merrill universe.
Yeah, and I think you see this with some talent across the league when we're talking about the best of the best of the best, because there are a lot of guys that will get to the major league level and it takes them time to get adjusted. It takes them time to become the best version of themselves. And then other times you have situations like Gunnar Henderson where it's like, all right, I'm rookie of the year and now I'm an MVP. Yeah. You know, like it can't happen that quickly. And I think with Merrill, there's still reason to expect it could take a little bit longer for him to get to maybe all-star status or whatever, but he's awesome. And as you said, he saved their ass, right?
Like
this is not
really
just that he's been good, but he bailed them out. And I think I would say Profar is part of this too, when you think about how worried we were about what left field was going to be for them. So that's even more wild. But both of those guys, when you think about where we thought their outfield situation was to where it is now, which is one of the best in baseball, is pretty amazing.
It really is staggering when you think about it too. And the contributions, talking to our pal Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue here, the contributions from Jurickson Profar, I mean, there's not enough superlatives for him, not enough superlatives for Jackson Merrill. Jake Cronenworth's production, the first part of the season has been an outstanding turnaround, really getting some nobody really expected this from any of these guys. And of course, some of the stars, Tatis finally starting to hit like a star, but Manny has not done anything this year. Xander, of course, is hurt. It really has been, they've really grinded hard, is what I've been saying, to be two games above 500. I mean, they've expended a ton of energy, and gotten lucky in some cases to be two games over.
Yeah. But as we've talked about, guys, over 500 in the National League is
elite.
Elite,
yeah,
right?
It's elite.
This is you should be appreciating just how awesome it is, and we'll see, right? This will be interesting as they go on this road trip here. They play a little bit better at home recently, but it, you know, we've seen them have success on the road, and now we'll see them at the Mets and Phillies, and another good test for them to stay, because if you can stay above 500, you are going to be relevant.
I just thought about it. All of the Padres' J players are overperforming.
Jurickson,
Jackson, Jake, and Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Are the, you know, so Jordan, it's good. You
Jordan,
should be on the Padres.
Yes,
having
oh my
a great,
God.
Yes.
Guys,
great season right now.
We got to get Jose Azokar going.
Yes.
Right,
let's
get his bat.
Hard J.
Yeah, I know he's someone. Right. Yeah. There you go. It's a little bit of a difference, but that's one I would love to see more from.
So we've been talking pitching this morning, and I agree with you. I don't think Mason Miller is exactly the answer, but the Padres do need pitching, both now and in the future with, obviously, Joe Musgrove.
Joe, got to get him going.
Got to get him going, too. Yeah. Another Jay guy. Yu Darvish on the injured list, and just the depth has not been there. There's one guy out there for next year. Woods brought this up during the break. That could solve a lot of problems for the Padres. Roky Sasaki. And I know a lot of people think, oh, he's going to be a Dodger. You guys cover some of the stuff. I know the other R. Sasaki, you were writing about Rintaro Sasaki. He's even younger, though. But Roky's the next one coming over. With the success of some of these Japanese pitchers, the market for him, if he does come to the United States, is going to be, I mean, every team's going to want him if they can get him. What do you know? What do you think when it comes to Roky Sasaki next season?
Yeah, man, it's gonna be wild. And honestly, I have to get a little bit more closely familiarizing with the situation in terms of the market from a cap, because I believe if he comes over next year that it wouldn't be a free-for-all.
No, it would be the international signing bonus limits. Yeah. So it would be more where does he want to play as opposed to how much he wants to play for.
Exactly. It's a different kind of free-for-all because, in theory, it opens it up to even more teams. So
Mike Ohtani
I imagine
was.
they'll do the right, they'll do the full court press and do their best to show why they need it more than anybody else and why hopefully they are reason, a place for him to succeed moving forward. But it's going to be hard. it's going to be hard to get him away from the Dodgers, to get him away from some of the other teams that are going to be pursuing him. I hate to say it, but talent-wise, yeah, he's perfect for every team.
Well, you know, and Ben this morning has been talking about who pitches in 26 and 25, and I'm really still interested in this year and what can happen. Yes. You had some tweets about Garrett Crochet last night, and he was pitching against your beloved Mariners, and he pitched very well, to say the least, against your Mariners. And we're talking about it in here. He's been connected to the San Diego Padres, Jordan. He doesn't look risky. I mean, when you watch him pitch, you don't go, "Oh, that guy's a risk." He looks fantastic, man. But you just got to wonder how much is in the tank and what they're going to ask for him. The rumors are they're going to ask for more than they got for Dylan Cease, for a guy that, you know, has four more innings left to match his career total. So I really don't know what to do if you're AJ Preller or the White Sox GM. I have no idea how much that changes it.
Yeah, I've said this a few places about the White Sox. Crochet feels like a tough guy to trade for both what he represents as a pitcher who has just not come out of nowhere, right? This is a first round pick who was very talented, but because of what he had been in recent years in the big leagues, this is pretty astonishing to watch. At the same time, man, guys, like, it's one thing to trade a Cease a couple years from free agency. It's one thing to trade even a Luis Robert or a Kopech, whatever. Trading Crochet, it's like the only thing that's gone right for the White Sox this season is a really, really tough look. And while I do not doubt that the Padres are going to try, because what does AJ Preller care about what it looks like to White Sox fans? It's going to be really, really hard. But I just struggle with, and by the way, I think the risk is there. I think it doesn't matter how good he looks right now. I think when you see guys blow past their workloads like this, you just don't really know. Not to mention with the injury history that he already has,
right.
I think the talent is legit, but it's there's a lot of risk there. I think they will land a starting pitcher, but I just feel like Crochet ends up not getting moved.
So, Jordan, we have a segment we do every day called "Don't Do This." We've done it for 6 years since we started the show. It's as you can imagine, it's just the foibles and the mistakes from the world of sports. We had a disagreement earlier this week. I did not like it when Cardinals fans gave a standing ovation to Paul Skenes when he walked off the mound. Woods did. I know you talked about it this week as well. What was your opinion of that moment when an opposing team gives an ovation?
Are you
to
asking
the guy
him because you know his answer is matching up with yours?
I just know he talked about it.
I feel like you are.
No, that's not true. My first thought when it happened was closer to what Ben said.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Like, I'm swept up in Skenes media like everybody
Me too.
Else. And I think that, like, I think for it's so interesting that it's the Cardinals fans in particular.
That's what bothered me the most. I think I wouldn't have minded as much
if it was the Rays or something.
Someone else had done it. But the Cardinals fans, I feel like they're putting on a show for us. Just to,
right,
just
that's
to rub
true.
It in all of
that's
our faces.
True.
It's
eyewash.
It's just eyewash. It's eyewash. Look at us. Look how great we are.
That's true. And that was Jake's point, which I think you can definitely roll your eyes at, which is like the Cardinals fans like trying to make it be like, oh, like we can appreciate great baseball. We know baseball better than us. It's like, yeah, that is definitely obnoxious if that is the case.
Yes.
However, you can also flip it and be like, come on, Cardinals fans, like you would think you were the most passionate defenders of your own team and your team is getting embarrassed by this guy in his seventh major league start, no matter how great he is. Like, Why am I cheering for him? And so I could see it both ways. But as someone who generally is going to support the appreciation of any player in a neutral context, like, I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, I can appreciate it. I'm just going to do it silently. I'm going to silently appreciate it.
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm going to yell at my
TV. I don't mean to celebrate. This is not me giving the Cardinals fans a standing ovation. That would be a step too far. But I'm just saying, I thought it was cool. I'm not commending them. I thought it was cool. That's a slight, very slight difference there.
Jordan, I appreciate it. Thanks for filling in
Thank
for Jake. Anytime, I'll always appreciate your conversations.
Appreciate you guys. Talk soon.
Thanks,
Jordan Schusterman. Jordan Schusterman.
We are losing it, both of us, right
barbecue.
Now.
Oh,
we got to get it together.
It's been a long week.
We got to get it together.
Long
we got the
week.
Skipper coming up in 45 minutes.
As always, thanks to Grand Ole Barbecue for bringing you Cespedes Family Barbecue every Friday. Check them out North Park, Flint Springs, and at the ballpark the next time the Padres are back home. That won't be for a while. They got a six-game road trip that they start tonight. In New York, we got a 4:10 first pitch, 3:10 EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. Padres taking on the New York Mets, and then Woods back to Philadelphia. Phillies already came to Petco Park and swept the Padres once.
Just lost two or three, though.
They have not.
Boston.
They're not as hot as they were back then.
JT Realmuto is out. I never say it right. JT Realmuto is out for them. They got bodied by Boston last night. Nola got just crushed. So
how about playback? Yeah. How about sweet bat in their ballpark?
100%, man. Turnabout's fair play. I'd love to see it.
We'd be feeling pretty good about the Padres if they come back with like a 4-2 road trip.
It'd be
here.
Fantastic, man.
You're feeling really good about
fantastic.
The Padres. At this point.
100%. Keep
we'll
it rolling.
Got to start with the New York Mets, though. We'll talk more about that coming up. As you said, the manager, Mike Shildt, will join us from the Big Apple coming up at the top of the hour for his weekly visit here. So don't go anywhere. More Bennett Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station. Traffic first here on 97.3 The Fan.
Bro, I got to give our Tier 1s the most credit in the world. You guys are amazing. We had been discussing a Padres game earlier in the week, and something had happened. And I said, I got to ask Mike Shildt about that. And you said, he's going to.
That's an interesting one.
He might. You're like, that's kind of spicy. I said, I'll ask him that. And I had completely, as I do, blanked, forgotten it. I put it in the chat and asked what I had said myself. And they reminded me. just like that. Took 2 seconds. You guys are incredible.
You're better than Post-it notes.
You're better than the hosts of this show. And it's not even close. So thank you. Alyssa came through. You're a stud. Thank you so much.
All right, looking forward to it now. Mike Shildt coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. Obviously, it's going to be a very positive tone, at least compared to last week. When the Padres had lost 5 in a row,
good God.
Or 4 in a row, or about to lose 5 in a row. Now they've won 5 out of 6, and the mood is much better for your San Diego Padres. It'll make a difference in the conversation. I'm sure of it. He's got a lot of individual players playing well. Also, we are 1 week into All-Star voting. And I saw our friend David Schoenfeld from ESPN came out with his All-Star teams. Jim Bowden did it last week. They both have between 4 and 5 Padres slated to make the All-Star team. Both of them have Jurickson Profar and Fernando Tatis Jr. starting in the outfield. They both have Luis Arraez as a reserve. And Robert Suarez is one of the closers on the team. I think Bowden also added Cease as part of his pitching rotation as well. 4 to 5 All-Stars is legit. I mean, there's not a lot of teams out there that are going to have 4 to 5 All-Stars. In fact, there's about 6 or 7 that he's going, I don't even know the one is going to be kind of tough to figure out that they're going to have the mandatory minimum one. But the Padres should have much more than the mandatory minimum, looking to potentially have 4 or even 5 All-Star performers next month.
And I'm a monster, right, that I want everyone to just go home and rest and recharge. Yes. Yes.
I mean, like for Jurickson.
Jurickson's the one. He's the one for me.
Assuming he's healthy, obviously, now that you find out he's got the... And we'll ask Mike Shildt about his patellar tendonitis and how he's feeling.
Did you see the quotes about the All-Star game, what it means to him?
Yeah.
Got
his
me.
Son.
His son. He never watches the game. He's like, I don't watch this. And his kid always makes him watch the game. The fact that he could see his old man running out there playing. Are you kidding me? Spectacular.
He certainly...
He's so deserving.
If you haven't made an All-Star game in your first 10 years, let's just be honest. It's probably never happening.
You probably think it's never going to happen, man.
The fact that he is such a favorite to get there, I just hope he gets voted in. I mean, I know Padres fans will do their thing. Do enough people or the rest of the country pay attention to the fact that...
Probably not.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
If you take one look at the outfield statistics in the National League, there's only one sure thing. And that is Jurickson Profar. If you base your vote on something other than just your heart or the names or the guys you've heard of, if you actually look at the statistics and take that into consideration at all, Jurickson Profar is the only lock in the outfield in the National League.
Correct.
So I'd hate to think that he'd have to be a reserve. He should be there have his name introduced in the starting lineup, get to go out, play the first three innings, whatever, and be there in the park where he made his major league debut, or at least the new park next to the park where he made his major league debut.
The city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be one thing that I am excited about. Robert Suarez being there
100%. Is going to be. I just don't want him to pitch.
He's going to be exciting.
I just want him there. Like,
yeah, go in, throw seven fastballs. He'll be fine.
Call it a day.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you're right. It's selfish. I mean, I understand it. I know I'm a monster.
I wouldn't have said it was possible a few days ago. Just Jackson Merrill in such a weak National League outfield. Does he get some consideration for an all-star game?
Yeah.
You know, especially after what he just did and a little extra national attention. I don't think so, not yet, but certainly the numbers are not bad at all for Jackson Merrill. Played a good defense. There really isn't any center fielders. Now, you can have three outfielders. They can play wherever.
Yeah, play wherever.
They'll probably put Tatis in center just because they know he can handle it.
Now, Vinny says 4-5 won't happen. Stop being silly. You're probably right, Vinny. You're probably right.
It's deserving. Jim Bowden, it's David Schoenfield. Yeah. They're the ones that have 4-5. They're not Padres fans. They're not homers. They have no reason to do it other than trying to logically determine what the team looks like. And they both had at least four Padres on their all-star
team. Jeremiah Estrada.
Coach
vote or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if he has the innings necessarily. I mean, he didn't even start the year with the Padres.
Well, he did, but then he went down.
Then he came back down. Yeah. Yeah. But did you see? I saw David Schoenfield has Matt Strom. Making the team.
A monster.
He's only given up two runs. Now, he's not a closer, so he doesn't have the save numbers, but if you're looking at pitchers and you don't mind that they don't have saves, Matty Strom has had a phenomenal season. Phenomenal season for the Phillies.
Fantastic.
That would be cool to see Matty Strom.
It'd be great, man. I would love to see some of these old friends of the show get in and new friends of the show like Jerks and Profar.
Last night, a little bit of Major League Baseball action before we get to our Klug report coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Cardinals took 2-3 from the Pirates. Both of those teams kind of in the thick of the wild race behind the Padres in the National League. The Mets we talked about earlier had the walk-off from J.D. Martinez. Jock Peterson had a big game for the Diamondbacks. Grand Slam, 5 RBI. Diamondbacks beat the Angels 11-1. They took care of business. Took 2 out of 3 at least against L.A. Royals avoid the sweep, 4-3 over the Yankees. You know, Alec Marsh had a no-hitter, I think, like to the 7th. Lost the no-hitter, lost the lead in the 8th, but then the Royals rallied for the walk-off 4-3 win. Let's see. The Red Sox beat the Phillies. I mentioned how Aaron Nola struggled. 11 hits and 8 runs.
It's crazy. I watched him
in 3 2/3 innings.
Nuts. Just right down the middle, man. Center cut. Guys
Cubs lost to the Rays. They dropped 2-3 down in St. Pete. Tigers beat the Nationals. Nationals had won, I think, 5 in a row.
I got tagged about 700 times. Did you see that inning where the Cubs just started to bunt and try to get runs?
They weren't even that great of bunts.
They weren't. They just got the job done, but... who won that game?
The Rays did.
Oh, okay. Probably because giving away outs at the big league level sucks.
And the Braves snapped their 5-game losing streak with a 6-3 win over the Orioles. Do you see the Braves GM just flat out going, "We're not playing good"?
Oh, right did he?
Now. Oh, yeah. He said Alex Anthopoulos just said, "I'm sure Adam knows this. We're just not playing good baseball."
I don't
right now.
Really understand it.
Not hitting. Not doing anything.
Yeah, their offense is terrible for no reason whatsoever. That's frustrating.
For like
man.
A season last. Last year, and then the first couple of months this year, like, Braves had the best offense in baseball, and then it just disappeared.
Stupid game, man. It makes no sense.
It's weird. All right. Adam will have some headlines for us, filling in for Paulie on our Randall Report. Coming up next, and then Mike Schilt at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Xander Schauffele making a little charge up the leaderboard on day 2 of the U.S. Open. He started the day at even par. And by the way, he was lucky to be even yesterday. He only hit, like, 6 fairways and 8 greens yesterday. He had to scramble his butt off just to get to even par and not play himself out of the tournament. But he's 3 under through 13 holes this morning and has moved into the top 5. Patrick Cantlay remains the leader at 5 under. He hasn't teed off yet. Rory McIlroy, 1 back, 4 under. He's 1 over on the day. Ludvig Åberg is 4 under. He hasn't teed off, but Bryson DeChambeau just moved to 4 under with back-to-back birdies through 13 holes, and he is now tied for second as well at the 124th U.S. Open at Pinehurst, number 2 in North Carolina.
I'm a pretty good scrambler on the golf course for a 90.
You've got good hands for a guy who doesn't practice that much. And I'm sometimes envious because I don't have that. I used to have really soft, good hands when I played a lot. Now I'm yippy and you get old and stab at it and it's like chunk it and skull it and Woods just comes out a little flip. Like,
yeah, but
I'm mad.
I'm scrambling for a 96.
Now you're also hitting it 40 yards off the fairway, off the tee, which I don't do. You know, you're scrambling. Yeah,
stupid.
Saving double bogeys, as you said,
stupidest
which is the difference.
Game.
But I do get jealous sometimes when I
around the greens
when I see those nice little pitch shots around the greens that I struggle with.
It's all right.
I struggle with them. All right, Adam's got a Klug report with some headlines for us coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Traffic is sponsored by the Fish Market, serving the freshest catches from waters near, far, and everywhere in between. Got a collision on the Hotel Circle on-ramp to westbound 8. Couple pickup trucks blocking that right lane. Northbound side of 163 before Friars Road. Reports looks like some paint buckets in middle lanes. Skip the fried food when visiting the San Diego Fair this year and grab some healthy, fresh catch at the Fish Market. So good. The Fish Market off the 5 next to the Del Mar Fairgrounds and downtown on North Harbor Drive. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the
Klug
Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the
Klug
Report. Right. Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed. It's the
Klug
Report on 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Good morning again, gentlemen.
Good Take morning. It away, birthday boy.
Yes. Oh, yeah, happy birthday again to Adam Klug.
Thank you guys very much. Nowhere I'd rather be right now.
Which, unfortunately, is kind of true, as we learned. He is nowhere else he wants to be.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm going to. Yesterday in the text, when Paulie's like, man, I am toast. I'm achy, and I'm sick, and blah, blah, blah.
That it wasn't.
Adam, right, here's his text back. This laid me out.
I love you, Paul.
Welp, W-E-L-P, welp, sorry you aren't feeling well. I'll do it in Adam's voice. Welp, sorry you aren't feeling well. Guess I'll be in with you guys tomorrow. The whelp.
Adam's had a long week. So Scraby's been out with the shoulder surgery. And
I did
so
an
Adam's,
emergency 545 call in the other day
Paul got sick the other day, he had to come in really, really early.
Yeah.
You went and covered the Chucky Lozano news conference yesterday for us while we were doing the roundtable. You've been very, very busy.
The busy
week.
Little
Long
beaver.
Days, lots of work. We appreciate it.
All good. You're right, though. There is nowhere I'd rather be. I love sports. I
Come on,
station.
Man.
So I'd just be at home listening anyway. So.
Welp. He said, welp.
You didn't work here. You'd be a tier one for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Welp, though, means welp. I'm not happy about this. Welp.
I wasn't thrilled.
He's trying to show a little empathy to Paulie.
Yeah, well,
very empathetic.
Very empathetic.
Well,
he has such a bedside manner. Go ahead, buddy. Take it away.
It is good to be Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter's reported that the former number one overall pick has agreed to a 5-year, $275 million contract with Jacksonville, which includes $200 million guaranteed and a $142 million bonus at signing. I guess they just handed him a big publisher's clearinghouse.
142 a signing bonus? No.
Please sign our contract. Here's $142 million.
That can't be right.
That is true.
Because it's
142.
It doesn't count against the cap.
Right.
So
I'm sure it'll be like prorated and handed out. Not in one giant lump sum, probably. But.
That would be so badass.
It's a $37.5 million signing bonus.
Got it.
But he gets $142 million of the $200 guaranteed at signing.
Okay, that's very odd.
Lawrence hasn't been that good of a quarterback. He's underwhelmed compared to the type of prospect he was and being the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
But the Jaguars obviously aren't going to let him walk.
What a tough, tough position to be in. Hard to let guys walk when you think we still believe in your ceiling. Very much. We believe very much. Obviously, that much money you believe in his ceiling. But holy smokes, it's a lot of coin.
And again, he's got a high upside. The only other quarterback I can think of that wasn't a complete and total bust. Who was the number one pick in their team, let him walk without signing his second contract, was Baker Mayfield with the Browns.
Yeah.
They let him walk.
Let him go.
Went after Deshaun Watson. He signed for like 1 year, $4 million, like after bouncing around, and now he just got paid by $5.
The prove-it deal.
So here are now your top 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL quickly. Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins, and
Patrick Mahomes.
Number 10, Patrick Mahomes.
And he signed a 10-year deal, so you know, he's locked up for a while.
They're the Chiefs are in the catbird seat.
It's crazy
that they have him locked up, and he's not even a top five paid quarterback in the league. Guys won back to back Super Bowls.
Brady every year, though.
It was, you know. And now it's Patrick Mahomes. Going to be Patrick Mahomes. Now it's a much higher total, but as the cap goes up, these quarterback figures keep going up and up and up. The quarterbacks keep eating the most chunk of the cap increases. Well, and then there's like scraps left over for everybody else.
The next guy is Dak Prescott, who's got 1 year left in his deal. And you know what he's reportedly asking for now? $60 million per year.
Get on the mic, people.
$60
million per year.
So then Patrick Mahomes will no longer even be a top 10 paid quarterback when that happens.
It's insane.
We've got the, let's go to the world of college football as the Big 12 is exploring selling naming rights for the conference to a title sponsor.
Everything's for sale, man.
Everything.
Everything's for sale.
People telling me to get on the mic.
Yeah, get on the mic, Doc. Okay. Here, watch me.
I was trying to keep it out of the camera view.
Don't worry. People see that. Look, karate chop right here. Right there. That's what you need.
So we've been workshopping, though, right? A sponsorship for the Big 12 conference. What did you guys come up with?
So Arby's? This can go two different ways.
What was your idea?
Depending on who the company is, it'll sound really awkward. Like the Arby's 12 is kind of embarrassing. I mean, you can say. Now, I was listening last night. Whoever's hosting on 97.3 The Fan, the overnights, said like an insurance company make a lot of sense. The Allstate 12, the State Farm 12 sounds kind of like college football-y anyway. The Travelers 12.
That could
be like the Big Ten, could be the Travelers 10, because you've got schools all the way from California to New Jersey. So some sponsors work. Southwest Airlines, the Southwest 12. Perfect, easy, done,
it's
no problem.
Yeah.
But there are also companies that would sound very awkward, like the Ben & Woods 12 would be a little weird.
It's going to be very expensive. We don't have the budget.
Are they going to want more than $100?
They are.
I heard 30 to 50, so.
Arby's 12 really has a good ring to it. Carl's Jr. 12.
I saw our friend.
Roundtable 12. That's not bad.
The Roundtable 12.
Yeah, not bad at all.
The Last Honest Conference.
The Last Honest Conference.
Someone said the SEC should sell the naming rights, and it would be the Waffle House CC.
Waffle House CC.
Because it ends in SEL.
Waffle House CC.
But, I guess if you can make it make money on it, they're going to start doing it in college football. Now, there's a law being debated in Congress right now to prevent schools from making them so they don't have to classify college football players as employees.
Right.
Which is, you know, they already are sharing the NIL and the revenue money, that lawsuit, the House lawsuit that just got settled.
Companies hate making you an employee.
But, so the argument that they're employees is they work a lot of hours to help the schools make money, the ticket revenues, the TV revenues. Where does it stop, though? Are high school football players employees? I mean, they charge tickets to go for a high school football game to go. You watch the players play. They practice for hours. Are you going to have to start paying at least a minimum wage to high school football players? Because if you did, that would be the end of high school football.
Correct.
You could not. There's no high school in America that it could afford to pay even minimum wage.
I wouldn't say no high school. Okay. There's some high schools.
There's seven schools in Texas.
They're all
that
can in South Lake, Texas.
That's about it. So, I mean, if that's the law, then high school football is done. If players have to be paid minimum wage, at least, you will not have any more high school football.
How about start paying adult league baseball players to play? That I would sign up for.
Well, I don't think you're charging tickets or making any money, so you're not
really
employees.
Not yet.
Maybe you should be.
I treat my guys like employees. I do.
You treat your kids like employees.
I treat my kids like employees as well. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And finally, guys, I've got a question for you. Do you believe in aliens?
I do. Yeah, I do. Ben does not.
I don't believe that they've come and visited this world.
I've got a story for you. I believe there's one inside of you sometimes.
I absolutely believe that they're out there many, many light years away that we don't know about. But here, no. Why would they be hiding it? Come visit. Say hi.
Well, I could tell you.
Okay, fine.
I'm very big into this. I absolutely believe in aliens.
Wait. You do? So this is an interest outside of sports.
It's like mathematically impossible that there's no intelligent life.
They're just not here.
They're
among us. A recent Harvard University study. The study has revealed that aliens might be living among humans, probably underground or on the moon.
Or at the San Diego County Fair that I was at the other day. I'm pretty sure that I saw potentially.
So what's their reasoning here? They're underground.
Let me read.
Or on the moon.
The Human Flourishing Program of Harvard University stated UFOs might be alien spaceships that are visiting to meet their alien friends living on Earth. The paper states the author is aware of the depth of evidence and theory that also tentatively supports another extraterrestrial explanation, the quote, crypto-terrestrial hypothesis, landified aerial phenomenon, activity to the action of hidden non-human entities that could be pretending to be humans and evolved from intelligent dinosaurs.
I also submit to you Ozfest. If you've never been to Ozfest.
Wait, if they evolved from dinosaurs, they're not aliens. They're just different from us.
So I'll let you guys speak, but if you want, I can deep dive. They go into four different types of theories about aliens living in Earth, on Earth.
Here he goes.
There are UFO sightings literally every day.
I saw one at Joshua Tree. I'm not kidding you.
So you're telling me that out of hundreds of thousands, probably every year, of UFO sightings, we haven't been able to prove a single one of them. There's not photographic evidence convincing of a single one of them.
They're hiding it from you.
Hiding hundreds of thousands of aliens every day.
Area
no one can hide
51.
That much. No one can hide that much from everybody.
You're sweet
kid. Guess what? There's an Area 51. There's probably thousands of government employees. All of them completely silent.
Some people think they live under the ocean, Ben.
People talk too much. They take pictures. Everyone has cell phones. You know, they didn't put it on Twitter. I mean, someone would have determined it's real at some
point. You're going to get dragged
every
again,
single
and you
one
deserve it. You debunks. Deserve it, frankly. I fully believe, Adam, and I fully believe that they are among us. I really, really do. I saw Men in Black. I believed it. It looked like a documentary to me. For real. It was like a documentary.
A dramatization
of the real world.
I believe
as well. He gets so riled up when you start talking. His logical brain won't accept it. And
see,
it just
I thought
kills
he would
me.
Believe because logically, like I said, it feels like mathematically impossible that we're the only intelligent life.
Diesel says he saw a demon hitchhiker once.
You saw a demon at Joshua Tree at the bar.
Now that guy, you're telling me that they don't exist? Guy's 130 years old.
Nah, I didn't say demons didn't exist. Nah. I said aliens didn't exist.
So one is logical, one is illogical. You really pushed his buttons because he gets really worked up with this one. There's one Twitter follower that's going to murder you for the rest of the day. You know who it is.
I do.
I can't remember his name, but he's going
trans
UFO guy.
He is
going to murder you. Murder you.
I 100% believe aliens are out there. Out there. Way out there.
Can't keep your head in the sand on this one, man. You really
and
can't.
I will gladly and happily welcome them and learn all about them when they do decide to get here. But if they decided, we'd know about it at this
point. We've got the skipper, Mike Schilt, up next. And we joked off air if he needs to know where the back end of his bullpen is. Well, it's currently on MLB Network. Jeremiah Estrada was there last night. Robert Suarez is on this morning. I can't say I like this very much, talking to Alana Rizzo. I feel like that's a bad luck waiting.
Stephen Kolek is going in.
Stephen Kolek's waiting outside for his appearance next. Yuki Matsui is waiting. Fantastic. So Pottery's
Yuki's
getting a little...
just working on his English. Did you see that? He didn't want a translator. Xander Schauffele making a little charge up the leaderboard on day two of the U.S. Open. He started the day at even par. And by the way, he was lucky to be even yesterday. He only hit, like, six fairways and eight greens yesterday. He had to scramble his butt off just to get to even par and not play himself out of the tournament. But he's three under through 13 holes this morning and has moved into the top five. Patrick Cantlay remains the leader at five under. He hasn't teed off yet. Rory McIlroy, one back, four under. He's one over on the day. Ludvig Åberg is four under. He hasn't teed off, but Bryson DeChambeau just moved to four under with back-to-back birdies through 13 holes, and he is now tied for second as well at the 124th U.S. Open at Pinehurst, number two in North Carolina.
I'm a pretty good scrambler on the golf course for a 96.
You've got good hands. For a guy who doesn't practice that much and... I'm sometimes envious because I don't have that. I used to have really soft, good hands when I played a lot. Now I'm yippy, and you get old and stab at it, and it's like chunk it and scull it, and Woods just comes out a little flip. I'm mad.
I'm scrambling for a 96.
Now you're also hitting it 40 yards off the fairway, off the tee, which I don't do. You know, you're scrambling. Yeah, to save the double bogeys, as you said, which is the difference.
Game.
But I do get jealous sometimes when I
around the greens
when I see those nice little pitch shots around the greens struggle with.
That's all right.
Struggle with them. All right, Adam's got a Klug report with some headlines for us coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Traffic is sponsored by the Fish Market, serving the freshest catches from waters near, far, and everywhere in between. Got a collision on the Hotel Circle on-ramp to westbound 8. Couple pickup trucks blocking that right lane. Northbound side of the 163 before Friars Road. Reports looks like some paint buckets in middle lanes. Skip the fried food when visiting the San Diego Fair this year and grab some healthy, fresh catch at the Fish Market. So good. The Fish Market off the 5 next to the Del Mar Fairgrounds and downtown on North Harbor Drive. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our... today's edition of the
Klug
Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the
Klug
Report. Right. Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed. It's the
Klug
Report on 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Good morning again, gentlemen.
Take it away, birthday boy.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday again to Adam Klug.
Thank you guys very much. Nowhere I'd rather be right now.
Which, unfortunately, is kind of true, as we learned. He is nowhere else he wants to be.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm going to. Yesterday in the text, when Paulie's like, man, I am toast. I'm achy, and I'm sick, and blah, blah, blah.
That it wasn't.
Adam, right, here's his text back. This laid me out.
I love you, Paul.
Welp, W-E-L-P, welp, sorry you aren't feeling well. I'll do it in Adam's voice. Welp, sorry you aren't feeling well. Guess I'll be in with you guys tomorrow. The welp.
Adam's had a long week. So Scraby's been out with the shoulder surgery. And
I did
so
an
Adam's,
emergency 545 call in the other day
when Paul got sick the other day, he had to come in really, really early.
Yeah.
You went and covered the Chucky Lozano news conference yesterday for us while we were doing the roundtable. You've been very, very busy.
Busy little beaver.
Lots of work. We appreciate it.
All good. You're right, though. There is nowhere I'd rather be. I love sports. I love radio. Come on, man. So I'd just be at home listening anyway. So.
Welp. He said. Welp.
You didn't work here. You'd be a tier one for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Welp, though, means Welp. I'm not happy about this. Welp.
I wasn't thrilled.
He's trying to show a little empathy to Paulie.
Yeah, well,
very empathetic.
Very empathetic.
Well,
he has such a bedside manner. Go ahead, buddy. Take it away.
It is good to be Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter's reported that the former number one overall pick has agreed to a 5-year, $275 million contract with Jacksonville, which includes $200 million guaranteed and a $142 million bonus at signing. I guess they just handed him a big publisher's clearinghouse.
142 a signing bonus? No.
Please sign our contract. Here's $142 million.
That can't be right.
That
That is true.
Because it,
142
it doesn't count against the cap.
Right.
So
I'm sure it'll be like prorated and
says,
handed out. Not in one giant lump sum, probably. But.
That would be so badass.
It's a $37.5 million signing bonus.
Got it.
But he gets $142 million of the $200 guaranteed at signing.
Okay, that's very odd.
Lawrence hasn't been that good of a quarterback. He's underwhelmed compared to the type of prospect he was and being the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
But the Jaguars obviously aren't going to let him walk.
What a tough, tough position to be in. Hard to let guys walk when you think we still believe in your ceiling. Very much. We believe very much. Obviously, that much money you believe in his ceiling. But holy smokes, it's a lot of coin.
And again, he's got a high upside. The only other quarterback I can think of that wasn't a complete and total bust who was the number one pick in their team let him walk without signing his second contract was Baker Mayfield with the Browns.
Yeah.
They let him walk.
Let him go.
After Deshaun Watson. He signed for like 1 year, $4 million, like after bouncing around. And now he just got paid by
the
Bucks.
The prove-it deal.
So here are now your top 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL quickly. Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins, and
Patrick Mahomes.
Number 10, Patrick Mahomes.
And he signed a 10-year deal, so you know, he's locked up for a while.
They're the Chiefs are in the catbird seat.
It's crazy
that they have him locked up, and he's not even a top five paid quarterback in the league. Guys won back to back Super Bowls.
Brady every year, though.
It was, and now it's Patrick Mahomes. Going to be Patrick Mahomes. Now it's a much higher total, but as the cap goes up, these quarterback figures keep going up and up and up. The quarterbacks keep eating the most chunk of the cap increases, there's like scraps left over for everybody else.
The next guy is Dak Prescott, who's got 1 year left in his deal, and you know what he's reportedly asking for now? $60 million per year.
Get on the mic, people.
$60 million
per year.
So then Patrick Mahomes will no longer even be a top 10 paid quarterback when that happens.
It's insane.
We've got let's go to the world of college football as the Big 12 is exploring selling naming rights for the conference to a title sponsor.
Everything's for sale, man.
Everything.
Everything's for sale.
People telling me to get on the mic.
Yeah, get on the mic, Doc. Okay. Here, watch me.
I was trying to keep it out of the camera view.
Don't worry. People see that. Look, karate chop right here. Right there. That's what you need.
So we've been workshopping, though, right? A sponsorship for the Big 12 conference. What did you guys come up with?
So
Arby's?
This can go two different ways.
What was your idea? Arby's.
Depending on who the company is, it'll sound really awkward. Like the Arby's 12 is kind of embarrassing. I mean, you can say. Now, I was listening last night. Whoever's hosting on 97.3 The Fan, the overnights, said like an insurance company make a lot of sense. The Allstate 12, the State Farm 12 sounds kind of like college football-y anyway. The Travelers 12.
That could
be like the Big Ten, could be the Travelers 10, because you've got schools all the way from California to New Jersey. So some sponsors work. Southwest Airlines, the Southwest 12. Perfect. Easy. Done.
It's
no problem.
Yeah.
But there are also companies that would sound very awkward, like the Ben & Woods 12 would be a little weird.
It's going to be very expensive. We don't have the budget.
Are they going to want more than $100?
They are.
I heard 30 to 50, so.
Arby's 12 really has a good ring to it. Carl's Jr. 12.
I saw our friend.
Roundtable 12. That's not bad.
The Roundtable 12.
Yeah, not bad at all.
The Last Honest Conference.
The Last Honest Conference.
Someone said the SEC should sell the naming rights, and it would be the Waffle House CC.
Waffle House CC.
Because it ends
love
in SEL.
Waffle House CSCC.
But, I guess if you can make it make money on it, they're going to start doing it in college football. Now, there's a law being debated in Congress right now to prevent schools from making them so they don't have to classify college football players as employees.
Right.
Which is, you know, they already are sharing the NIL and the revenue money, that lawsuit, the House lawsuit that just got settled.
Companies hate making you an employee.
But, so the argument that they're employees is they work a lot of hours to help the schools make money, the ticket revenues, the TV revenues. Where does it stop, though? Are high school football players employees? I mean, they charge tickets to go for a high school football game to go. You watch the players play. They practice for hours. Are you going to have to start paying at least a minimum wage to high school football players? Because if you did, that would be the end of high school football.
Correct.
If you could not You could not. There's no high school in America that it could afford to pay even minimum wage.
I wouldn't say no high school. Okay.
There's seven schools in Texas.
They're
that
all
can
in Southlake, Texas.
That's about it. So, I mean, if that's the law, then high school football is done. If players have to be paid minimum wage, at least, you will not have any more high school football.
How about start paying adult league baseball players to play? That I would sign up for.
Well, I don't think you're charging tickets or making any money, so you're not getting the employees.
Not yet.
Maybe you should be.
I treat my guys like employees. I do.
You treat your kids like employees.
I treat my kids like employees as well. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And finally, guys, I've got a question for you. Do you believe in aliens?
Yeah, I do. Ben does not.
I don't believe that they've come and visited this world.
I believe there's one inside of you sometimes.
I absolutely believe that they're out there many, many light years away that we don't know about. But here, no. Why would they be hiding it? Come visit. Say hi.
Well, I could tell you.
Okay, fine.
I'm very big into this. I absolutely believe in aliens.
Wait. You do? So this is an interest outside of sports.
It's like mathematically impossible that there's no other intelligent
life. They're just not here.
They're
among recent
us.
Harvard University study.
Harvard
University. The study has revealed that aliens might be living among humans, probably underground or on the moon.
Or at the San Diego County Fair that I was at the other day. I'm pretty sure that I saw potentially.
So what's their reasoning here? They're underground.
Let me read.
Or on the moon.
The Human Flourishing Program of Harvard University stated UFOs might be alien spaceships that are visiting to meet their alien friends living on Earth. The paper states the author is aware of the depth of evidence and theory that also tentatively supports another extraterrestrial explanation, the quote, crypto-terrestrial hypothesis, landified aerial phenomenon, activity to the action of hidden non-human entities that could be pretending to be humans and evolved from intelligent dinosaurs.
I also submit to you Ozfest. If you've never been to Ozfest.
Wait, if they evolved from dinosaurs, they're not aliens. They're just different from us.
So I'll let you guys speak, but if you want, I can deep dive. They go into four different types of theories about aliens living in Earth, on Earth.
Here he goes.
There are UFO sightings literally every day.
I saw one at Joshua Tree. I'm not kidding.
I believe you did.
I'm not kidding you.
So you're telling me that out of hundreds of thousands, probably every year, of UFO sightings, we haven't been able to prove a single one of them. There's not photographic evidence convincing of a single one of them.
Maybe there is in the government. Just
they're hiding it from you. What do you think?
They're hiding hundreds of thousands of aliens every day.
Area
no one can hide
51.
That much. No one can hide that much from everybody.
You're a sweet
kid. Guess what? There's an Area 51. There's probably thousands of government employees. All of them completely silent.
Some people think they live under the ocean, Ben.
People talk too much. They take pictures. Everyone has cell phones. You know, they didn't put it on Twitter. I mean, someone would have determined it's real at some
point.
You're
going to get dragged
every
again,
single
and you
one.
Deserve it. You deserve it, frankly. I fully believe, Adam, and I fully believe that they're among us. I really, really do. I saw Men in Black. I believed it. It looked like a documentary to me. For real. It was like a documentary.
A dramatization
of the real world.
I believe
as well. He gets so riled up when you start talking. His logical brain won't accept it. And
see,
it just
I thought
kills
he would
me.
Believe because logically, like I said, it feels like mathematically impossible that we're the only intelligent life.
Diesel says he saw a demon hitchhiker once.
You saw a demon at Joshua Tree at the bar.
Now that guy, you're telling me that they don't exist? Guy's 130 years old.
Nah, I didn't say demons didn't exist. I said aliens didn't exist.
So one is logical, one is illogical. He gets you really pushed his buttons because he gets really worked up with this one. There's one Twitter follower that's going to murder you for the rest of the day. You know who it is.
I do.
I can't remember his name, but he's going
trans
UFO guy.
Something.
Is going to murder you.
I 100% believe aliens are out there. Way out there.
Can't keep your head in the sand on this one, man. You really
and
can't.
I will gladly and happily welcome them and learn all about them when they do decide to get here. But if they decided, we'd know about it.
We've got the skipper, Mike Shildt, up next. And we joked off air if he needs to know where the back end of his bullpen is. Well, it's currently on MLB Network. Jeremiah Estrada was there last night. Robert Suarez is on this morning. I can't say I like this very much, talking to Ilana Rizzo. I feel like that's a bad luck waiting.
Stephen Kolek is going in.
Stephen Kolek's waiting outside for his appearance next. Yuki Matsui is waiting. Fantastic. So Padres is getting a little...
just working on his English. Did you see that? He didn't want a translator to join Ruben on the mound.
On the mound.
Like, no, I'm working on it. I don't want a translator anymore. We're going to talk English.
Yep. Oh, Scotty Scheffler, double bogey.
Scotty's on the wrong side of the cut line.
He is. That is tough, man.
What a shocker.
That is shocking. A lot of money. I don't know if a lot of people put money on Scheffler, but he's probably in a lot of one-and-done pools.
Yeah, the odds weren't great. They're like the old Tiger odds. 3-1 to win a U.S. Open against 155 other people.
Yeah, man.
It's not good odds.
Not good at all.
To be sure. But, he's given the opportunity for a lot of guys now to win a major because it doesn't look like I don't ever want to count him out. But he's
it's
definitely
close.
Not.
What's the cut line going to be projected?
I don't know. Right now, it's right around 4. It might go back a little bit as the day goes on. I could see 4 or 5, but it doesn't look like it's going to be as high as I thought it was going to be 6 or 7. But I don't think it's going to get there. I think maybe 4 at the end of the day is looking pretty likely at this point. And he's right now at 5. So, and he's only got 4 holes left. Better birdie one of them if you want to be around for the weekend for Scotty Scheffler.
Somebody, the Beef just said Suarez just knocked it out of the park on his interview.
He did.
Yeah, we'll try to maybe get some audio before the show ends.
But first,
get a lot of love.
First, we will be joined by the skipper, Mike Shildt, joining us from the Big Apple as his team gets ready to open a 3-game series in New York and a 6-game road trip on the East Coast. They won 5 of the last 6. And we'll see what Mike Shildt has to say when we come back with the final hour of the week of Ben and Woods and Adam Klug. And our best wishes to Paulie Reindel as he gets healthy, hopefully back on Monday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.